It'll be kind of nice to do it once. For everybody, just a refresher, what happens on the budget is we begin through the budget starting with one. The motion on the floor is the governor's rec. The governor's rec is the final governor's rec is amended. It's not the original one. So as we go through where there are changes, then they need to be identified. Brent, you're going to need to alert us if there is a budget that we've missed that's been changed. But the motion on the floor is the governor's rec. If a majority of the entire group approve it, then it's adopted and you go forward. If you want to make a motion to either reduce or increase, then you said you make a motion, we vote on the motion. So then, for example, if the governor's rec is for $100,000 and you say I'd like to make a motion to reduce that by $100,000, then the motion is made, we debate it, you vote on it. If it goes up, then you move the governor's rec as amended. And then we vote on that, and then when we're done, you move to the next item. So it's gov's rec as amended, and we move step by step through there. Don will be keeping a tally for us that shows where we are. We know that we're started about $49 million in the red, and she'll keep a tally of that. We'll wait. Generally, we go through all the budgets once. Then we'll go through the Section 300s. We'll go through the AML dollars, do that. Then when we're all done with that, we'll go back through each budget. Now, with each budget, we'll have a motion to open the budget. Actually, we don't really need that. We just open the budget. We'll have a motion to close. You second it. If you want to go back and open up a motion, when we go back through the round robin, we'll just ask for a motion to open it up. If somebody has an amendment, they want to go back and revisit it. They said, I'd like to move to open it. Generally, on the second go-around, the courtesy is, unless you just it's something you really don't want to deal with, so we kind of allow pretty liberal opening up on the second go-around to go back through. Then we'll sort of visit everything. At that point, we'll say, are there any further motions? If you want to open up another budget, you still could, but it requires a vote. And at that time, you're just like, unless there's an extraordinary reason, the idea at that point, or generally the practice, is to be pretty stingy by that time. And at that point, you vote, and we do the roll call on the budget, then the staff will spend the time revisiting they'll draft everything, and undoubtedly there will be footnotes in Section 300s. They'll send those to us a few days before the session. We'll review them before we come back. On the first day we get back, we'll hopefully it's all drafted. We'll meet here, go over it, make sure it says what we intended for say, and then at the end of the day, do we sign the budget at that time? We sign the budget, or that would be, you don't actually have to sign it, or we just vote on it and that's it?
Mr. Chairman, you guys will, Madam Co-Chair, I'm sorry. Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, you will vote to sponsor this thing when you get back and sign it at that point, yeah. So that should be the first couple days when you get back.
Just to bring you up to speed about what's happened, we're all aware the goldenrod reflects that the governor's budget went underneath the red by about $50 million. We had discussions with the governor and the co-chairman Berger and I did. I think in general, we were describing the idea that before we exact agency cuts from folks, that the first thing to do is really be vigilant in going back and removing all increases except for those which we think that are really needed to move the government forward. It didn't really seem fair if you go to an agency and say, you have to give us a 2% reduction or a 4% reduction and in order to pay for an increase in Department of Health or somewhere else. When we get to Department of Health, there was a lot of discussion about whether the $37 million in ARRA funding represents a reduction or whether that was their problem to deal with. And I think a lot of that shaped as we talked about that. I think the governor then went back and is sort of working his budget with his own philosophy. So part of what we want to see is, you know, what is the philosophy that he's reflecting in his budget. It would be nice to have that before we begin a process. I don't know it'll make a lot of difference in the first 5 to 6 agency budgets, but when we get to there, I think we ought to, before we start working the budget, see, you know, what people are thinking. I remain of the belief that it just makes no sense to increase only to come back to have further decreases. And everybody's familiar with the Craig report now, and we're not getting the kind of assurances or comfort that we need to know whether this is the last cut. I think the concern is we may yet see another reduction in gas prices. Even the, you know, Representative Pedersen showed us the article of the $6 gas, but if you read inside of it, it says spot prices of $6, then to go back under $3 for the long term. You forgot to read the really. Yeah, even that article says maybe some spot prices. I mean, we are seeing some spot prices high in New York for cold spells, but overall gas prices are still look to be angling towards a number below $3, which is a little concerning. Dean, do you want to take us through this, or did?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to do that.
Why don't you come over and take Bill or Don's chair? It looks like both of them are give up their chair for you. I've never seen people fly out so quickly. All right, Dean, if you take us through this. And George, did you get the handout too? Or are there some extra handouts of this, Don? You might give our staff, but particularly give George one so he can follow us along. All right, thank you. Okay, Dean, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Page number one, what this is kind of a flow chart schematic, if you will, of the local government distributions from the 11-12 biennium, specifically those passed during the 2010 session. That was when a grand total of $87,456,560 was appropriated for local governments. This amount was split 89% to be distributed to all cities, towns, and counties, and 11% to be distributed to those who qualified under the formulas as being a hardship city, town, or county. And you can see the splits on the dollar amounts there. As far as the distributions go to all cities, towns, and counties, that 89% was then split one-third, two-thirds, with one-third of that amount being distributed to the counties and two-thirds of it being distributed to the cities and towns. As far as the county distribution has been somewhat simpler than the city and town distribution. It is just based on 15% of that total amount going to the counties is divided equally by 23, and then the remaining 85% is distributed based on the county's population and how their population bears to the total population of the state. As far as the city and town distribution, the way those go, there's a little bit more art or science that goes into that one. It's based, first of all, there's a flat distribution based on population. Cities and towns with a population of 35 or less receive a flat distribution of $5,000. And then cities and towns with a population, all cities and towns with a population over 35 receive a flat distribution of $10,000. And then the remainder of the distribution amount is distributed based on what's called adjusted population. I should probably back up just a little bit. As far as the total, again, being $87,456,560, and then it was split out 89% and 11%, that amount in the 89% box, that's $77,836,338. That's actually the total of actually a two-year distribution. So actually that $77,836,338 is the amount for the entire two-year period. So actually these amounts are basically cut in two, with them receiving one half of the distribution August 15, I believe it was 2010, and then August 15, 2011. And that that concept kind of rolls through all of the distributions on this particular page anyway. As far as the city and town distribution, I mentioned they receive the bulk of their distribution is based on an adjusted population. Populations can be adjusted based on sales tax per capita of the 23 counties. In other words, the county which has the lowest sales and use tax per capita is considered in the lowest 20th percentile. Basically, it's the counties where the sales and use tax per capita distribution is in the lowest 20th percentile receive a population adjustment. Those in the bottom 10%, those populations receive an adjustment of 1.5, where the counties where the sales and use tax is not in the lowest tenth, but in the second lowest tenth, if you will, receive their population is adjusted by 1.25. Now, and once those populations are adjusted, then that adjusted population distribution is calculated. Therefore, what ends up happening are the counties with the lowest per capita sales and use tax distribution have their populations adjusted upward, so therefore their per capita population distribution is increased. As far as discussing the hardship part of the formula, the hardship distributions are those that are done for cities and towns. All of the cities and towns that reside in counties in the lowest 20th percentile of sales and use tax receive a hardship distribution. And that hardship distribution is actually calculated. It's distributed only to cities and towns in the lowest 20th percentile. And it's based on the per capita of their actually the per capita of their sales and use tax population adjustment. As far as the hardship distribution for counties, the hardship distribution to counties is distributed only to counties with property taxes less than a defined funding need. County funding need is computed under the following formula. The county funding need is considered $1.2 million plus the county population up to 5,000 times $160 plus the county population from 5,001 to 25,000 times $130 plus the county population above 25,000 times $100. That's how the county funding need is computed. What that is compared to is the calculation of what the county's assessed value times the 12 mills, which is the property tax that the counties have available to them. to come up with the property taxes they have available. For those counties where the county funding need is greater than the property taxes available, those are considered the counties that are in hardship and receive a proportionate percentage of the hardship distribution.
Dean, on what property sales tax year or period are used for the calculation to determine eligibility for the hardship?
Let's see, for the 2010, let me look that up real quick, Mr. Chairman. Actually, for the 2010, the distribution set up in the 2010, it was for the tax year 2009.
What would be the most recent tax year information you would have available to run a model for us?
Actually, the most recent calendar year that is actually known right now would be that corresponds to calendar year 2010, which actually corresponds, I believe, to tax year 2011. The tax year 2012 would not be known at this point yet, and actually will not be known until the abstract is completed, I believe, this coming August.
Now, with respect to the folks that are hardship come in and out depending on their valuation to population, would you, maybe in the next couple of days, would you have time to run the model with the tax year 2010 information to see who the hardship counties were so that... For example, Co-Chairman Burgers County has lost a lot of revenue and assessed valuation, and it may be that Sheridan's in the hardship now. We just don't know. Is there a way to run that and find out?
Mr. Chairman, I have run all the numbers based on the most recent data that we have available right now. So we do know what those numbers look like. I did not put the detailed calculations according to what would be for the 13-14 biennium in this packet yet. I think the summary totals are in here, but the actual detailed spreadsheets that show which ones are hardship and which ones are not included in this. But we do have that information.
You provide that to us the next day or so we can see who the new hardships. And I think typically, though, we would... for the implementation of the bill, these numbers don't go out till next year, so we would have the 2011 numbers by then. And so if their county is further deteriorating, they might move in and out of the bubble.
Mr. Chairman, that is true. They can be calculated on the most recent numbers, which are not known yet, but would be known by the time this distribution would take place. Unfortunately, though, that would mean any estimate we could give you during the session would only be an estimate and could differ from what actually ends up getting distributed.
Mr. Chairman, question on that was, I think last time during the interim we had quite a discussion about what year to base the taxes on. And did we settle with here's the lump sum, August or whatever you get the numbers in, distributed as such? Is that how we did it last time?
Well, we had two things going. You've got the what census to use, and then what tax year to use. And if we go back 2.5 years ago, what we decided was that we'd only use numbers that were in the bag at the time of the session so people could actually see what their impacts were. My recollection is last year, knowing that this new census was going to come in, we probably used old property sales tax numbers, but we used we adopted the new census numbers so that we didn't know exactly where it was going to be, but concluded that we'd use census numbers. We had some preliminaries, but not the final. Does that sound right, Bill?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think the other thing you're going to run into, Mr. Co-Chair, is that if you want to base this on 2011 numbers, you're going to have to delay those payments, too. You know, where I think in the past, Dean, didn't they want to do that August 15th? And those payments, weren't they August 15th or
yes.
August 1st or something?
The reason for that is because you have all your protests and everything coming down.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, that actually even the protests certainly aren't settled by then, but even the preliminary, I mean, the what they consider the preliminary final actuals oftentimes aren't, we don't get those numbers, and I'm assuming that State Lands wouldn't get those numbers until the same time as us, and a lot of times we don't get them until even the first part of September.
If that's the case, then if we run off the 2010 numbers, we know what they are, and you're going to provide them to us.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Well, it wasn't a big change. I just wanted you guys to look at over on your cities, towns, in the two-thirds area there, in the flat rate distribution. For population over 35, that's currently 10,000, and I had thought that a person might be able to move that to 15 or 20. It's just basically looking at it from the standpoint that, you know, it's been at 10,000 for quite a few number of years. You're kind of looking at some kind of an inflation factor as far as just the base rate that towns need to exist on. So, you know, I'll throw that out. For the discussion factor, I think would be a reasonable thing to do from time to time to adjust that. Whether or not we adjust it at this point in time, you know, it's certainly up to you guys, but I thought we needed a little discussion.
Any other questions or discussion on this first one? Now, this is all, by the way, this is all direct distribution. There's no consensus money in this model.
Mr. Chairman, my question on that, do we have a thought on how many towns are existing times 15,000, what this would cost us?
Madam Chairman, or excuse me, Mr. Chairman, or whoever's on board today, I guess.
I'm
you're still there? Okay. I'm thinking it's somewhere around $2.2 million for the direct distribution. It was the last time that I remember somewhere in there. So it's going to be a couple million bucks probably to take it up to 20, somewhere in there.
Okay, Madam Chair.
That sound right, Dean?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, actually the flat distribution for 1 year under these calculations right here was $980,000. And what that consisted of, I believe it consisted, there are only two cities and towns with a population receiving the smaller number. Is that correct, George? There's only two that received the 5,000, and all the rest of the cities and towns received the flat distribution of 10. And like I said, for 1 year, that total flat amount amounted to $980,000.
So a couple of years, I guess a couple million would be about right in the ballpark.
It would be the total for the biennium.
For the biennium.
Senator Meyer.
Was 980 for 1 year?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, yes. That 980,000 is the amount.
2 million for 2 years. So if we take the 10 to 20, then it'd be almost 4 million for 2 years.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, I believe that's the ballpark you would be looking at, yes.
So $2 million is about what it would cost us, yeah. Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman.
Madam Chair, so if I understand this, is about $1 million 2 years for what we did do. So if you double it, it's $1 million a year or $2 million for two years? Okay, $1 million a year. So if you double it for the biennium, it's $2 million for the biennium. If you double the amount, $2 million additional or half. Okay, real easy math. I can even figure that one.
And Mr. Chairman, actually the way this is set up, it talks about the flat distribution and then from the remainder is distributed on the per capita or the adjusted population basis. What that tends to do when you increase those flat distributions is really you're distributing more to your smaller cities and towns and end up distributing a little bit less to your larger ones. It's the larger cities and towns that really receive their increased distribution based on their increased population.
Senator Bonflater.
So, Madam Chair, my question then would be to Senator Meyer is, are you considering adding more money to it to offset that or just take it out of the big pot?
Senator Meyer.
Well, Madam Chairman, at this point in time, it's probably just take it out of the big pot. And I think, what you're really looking at is whether or not we should look at an inflation factor on the base rate. And so it's been, I think, at least 4 years since we've changed this on the base. So that's about a, you know, with 10,000 might be too much for an inflation rate boost, you know, but 5,000 may be a little closer to what it would be. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, I believe these numbers have always been the $5,000 and the $10,000 flat amounts, if I'm remembering right. If Mr. Parks remembers that or not, is that right, George?
Sure. Mr. Parks?
George Parks with the Wyoming Association of Municipalities. That's generally true. There was 1 year in supplemental session where it was $30,000. In this last biennium, there were three distributions. So instead of a total of
last biennium.
Okay. So, Madam Chairman, I guess, you know, let the committee kind of ponder that a little bit as to whether or not we need to go up a little bit on the base rate. Sounds like that we've added to it in the past. So just that's the only change that I came up with that I thought that could be justified just based on inflation. So there you have it.
Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman.
Just a question, Dean, on that. Maybe we'll have to see the charts a little bit, see where it falls out at. But going farther down then on that distribution for the per capita sales tax, how many county or how many towns, cities, towns? Well, let me just a couple questions, really. The lowest 10th percentile are multiplied by 150%.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, that's correct.
Did we take into account, and then the next batch was 125%, the 11 through 20 percentile. Did we take into account any, like, payment in lieu of taxes, federal payments, or any of that kind of stuff in this? I can't remember, because that was some of the rationale, wasn't it, with? So it's just straight sales tax question. We don't look at PILT payments or any of that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, that's correct. It's just based on the per capita sales tax for each county.
And you have the most recent, what you think, off of 2010 collections that we can look at, you said?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, actually, I've done the calculations based on the most recently completed fiscal year for sales and use taxes, which is fiscal year 2011. That's
okay.
The fiscal year that would have ended June 30, 2011.
Okay.
And also the distribution based on the 2010 census data.
And so you'll be able to show us a list of those communities that get adjusted. Can you show us just the bottom 10th and then the next 10th?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, yes.
Okay.
I can distribute that to you so you can see exactly all the counties that are fall within that lowest 20th percentile and the cities and towns and those that receive the population adjustment.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, any further questions or have Dean continue?
Mr. Chairman, if you go on to the next page, you notice that looks very much like the first page. This is just showing, if you remember, During the 2011 session, there was an additional $10 million, which was appropriated for local government distribution. And this is a flowchart representing that distribution. Again, it was split 89% distributed to all cities and towns and counties, and 11% distributed only to hardship. It was discussed earlier that about there perhaps being more than one flat distribution. This is kind of how that happened. The 87,456,560, as I said, that was actually 2 years' worth divided by two. Everyone gets a flat distribution in FY11, and everyone gets a flat distribution in FY12. And then with this additional $10 million, it was treated like its own distribution again, with everyone getting again one more time another flat distribution of either the $5,000 or $10,000, depending on the population of the city or town.
Mm-hmm. In the last biennium, we doubled it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, you doubled it for one fiscal year anyway.
Yeah.
But not for a biennium, just for one fiscal year.
Right.
Going on to the next page. The next page is actually it's a flowchart attempting to show the capital project funding, which was passed during the 2011 session as well, which was the $35 million that's often referred to as the consensus block grant capital construction distribution. This distribution was in Section 342 of 2011 session laws, and this money was allocated to each one of the counties 80% based on the 2010 county census population. The remaining 20% was allocated to each county based on each county's inverse per capita assessed valuation. What that calculation ends up doing is allocating a larger amount to those counties that have the very lowest assessed valuation. For the $35 million distribution, $7 million of that was allocated to the counties based on the inverse of assessed valuation, which benefits your counties with less assessed valuation, such as your Niobraras, your Platts, like that. Mr. Chairman, just going on, what these numbers are, this is just actually the next three pages 4, 5, and 6 is a history of the direct distributions broken out by all the cities and towns for all 23 counties. This chart is kind of broken up into two sides, if you will. On the left side are the distributions for fiscal years 2007 through 2011. And the reason we kind of separate those from fiscal year 2012 is because those distributions were based on the 2000 census data, where the fiscal year 2012 distributions were based on the 2010 census data. And, Mr. Chairman, if you look at page 7, you have the same summary, if you will, for direct distributions for all 23 counties for fiscal years 2007 through 2011 based on the 2000 census information, and fiscal years 2012 based on the 2010 census information. Just kind of a breakdown by each county. Mr. Chairman, going on, if you go on to page 8, this page actually shows the specific calculation for the consensus block grant distribution. It was based on the 2010 tax year and the 2010 census data. And you will see how $28 million of it was actually distributed based on the percentage of population, that column right there. And then the columns to the right of that show the calculation of the assessed valuation per capita, and then the actual computation of the county inverse ratio, if you will. And what this highlights are the are how the formula ends up allocating more dollars to those counties with the lower assessed valuation figures. Mr. Chairman, going on, these next, page 9 is actually, page 9 was my understanding. Oh.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Dean, on page 7, I thought I had figured out what each one of the columns under the based on 2010 census were, but things are not adding up for me. So the first column in that block, 2010 session, fiscal year 2012, would have been the first year of the biennium payment, which would have been doubled?
Mr. Chairman, Representative,
or halved.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallace, that first column represents the dollars allocated during the 2010 session, which would have been the county share of the big number, the $87,456,560, that's allocated 89% to all the cities, towns, and counties, and then of that number, a third of it going to the counties, where the next column over that 2011 session is just the county's allocation of the smaller $10 million, the additional amount that was appropriated during the 2011 session.
Okay. All right. So they would have received the first half of the first column August 15th of that year, second half of the first column on the August 15th of the following year, plus the amount in column 2.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallace, I think if you want to tie these back to the actual dates these dollars were distributed, if you go to that column that's on the left side of the dark bar right there that says actual fiscal year 11, that $15,377,779 that says FY11 actual, that would have been distributed August 15, 2010. And then actually next to that one, where it says 2010 session FY12, that's the other half. And then next to that is the allocation, county's allocation of the additional $10 million. So if you want to actually look at the amount that the county received on August 15, 2011, it would have been under that total FY12 column, that $18,894,446.
Other questions? Okay. Continue.
Mr. Chairman, going back to page 9, this was my assumption of what the governor's recommendation was, which was 70% of the $135 million total being distributed to local governments in direct distribution. However, it's my understanding now there may be some question what if that's what the governor's recommendation was, whether his recommendation was the 70% of the $135 million or the 30% of the $135 million. So this was my assumption. I don't know if my assumption's correct or not. But what this sheet shows anyway under that assumption is
how the dollars would be split out using the same method, the 89% distributed to all cities and towns and counties in two equal distributions, and then the 11% to the hardship. Mr. Chairman, going on to page 10, I attempted to do the same thing, showing the governor what my understanding was of the governor's recommended budget for the capital project funding, the 30%. Again, I'm not sure if these percentages are correct or not, but this is what the dollars would look like under that assumption as far as the 80% distributed based on population and then the 20% based on the inverse assessed valuation. Mr. Chairman, the next three pages, pages 11, 12, and 13, they're very similar to pages 4, 5, and 6. The only difference being is with the addition of two columns, the one that says Gov 70 and the one that says Gov 30, depending on what that recommendation ends up being, whether it's split 70-30 or 30-70. And again, this would be based on FY11 sales and use tax per capita and 2010 census data. And Mr. Chairman, the final page, page 14, it's basically the same spreadsheet as was shown on page 7, I believe it was, except with the addition of the two columns at the very end, the one called Gov 70 and called Gov 30. And again, these projected distributions would be based on the most recent assessed valuation information that we have in regard to the hardship distribution for the counties and also based on the 2010 census data.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, Dean, help me out here. I was looking at the Gov's notes. And for this year, of that $135 million, he's recommending that 94.5 to go through the county consensus part. Now, and you're calling it here in your handout a direct distribution. So,
Madam Chair, I'll take this one. And part of this, Jeb, is my direction to Dean to run it both ways, because if you'll recall, there was discussion, I believe, from the director of A&I that those distributions were reversed in the governor's rec. And so, quite frankly, we're not completely sure what the final governor's rec is, whether it's 70-30 or 30-70 direct. So that's why you're seeing both ways run in the numbers in the back. Now, that the charts that you're seeing showing the flows, those reflect just the 70-30, you're right. But the charts of numbers in the back actually compare 13 both ways, 30-70 and 70-30. Okay. For that reason, because we got both, you're right, Madam Chair and Representative Stewart, you got the official Gov's rec in that write-up, in his message, is the 30-70. And I think that's what the WAM endorsement is 30-70. But like I say, the director of A&I came up and kind of reversed those ratios, I believe, during a meeting one day with you, during a hearing.
Madam Chair, I mean...
Go ahead, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems pretty clear to me when I read this that he wanted that 94.5 to go to the county consensus.
Clear there, but it's clear after this.
That's why he's
is reversing. So when we get the letter today, we'll find out.
Oh. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stewart, I do have these formulas set up so I could show you the county consensus, however what that rec ends up being. And
go ahead.
Dean, why don't you, if you would give us the census numbers for the county and the cities.
Mr. Chairman, the census numbers, is
yes.
That? Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So we could have those so we could see them. And then, folks, as we...
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Phil, you actually have those numbers.
I saw the cities, but not the counties.
Aren't they on there?
Mr. Chairman, I will make sure and add that column to the county spreadsheets, too, so they're right there.
Okay.
They'll show
so
the 2000 and the 2010.
Maybe the counties are on page 5.
Let's go back here. Hold on.
I got 10,000. This has the counties. Goshen. Just have to
on page 5 there, on the far left-hand corner, or 2000. That's 2000 census, and then Gobert past that dark bar, and there's the 2010 census.
Madam Chair, it's still just... municipalities.
Right, it isn't.
Look at LaGrange. My gosh, it grew 25%.
What happened?
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Don pointed out on page 8 they are there.
Hold on.
The 2010 numbers are.
Oh, there they are.
For the counties?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'll add both of those columns so you could actually see what they were under the 2000 and the 2000 census. My apologies on that.
And then do we have a current sales and use tax tabulation, the most current collection, just a one-sheeter or something that we could put with this packet?
Madam Chair, are you talking about the most current based, the actual fiscal year 11? In other words, we have them updated all the way through December, I believe, at this point.
I think I'd want the one that's based on how you do these calculations.
It'd be through FY11.
And then I think it would be important just to see what the current assessed collection is.
So in your depressed state, you're still twice what Laramie is. Albany County.
Yeah, but you weren't accustomed to having any wealth.
Well, and Madam Chair, I also want to point out, you know, along those lines, as far as whether or not you can realize the most recent actual changes and what's going on, particularly with the Craig Report, you're not going to have those numbers anytime during these distributions fiscally because the changes don't actually take place until calendar year 12 to any significant measure.
Thank you. Other questions of Dean or Bill?
Goshen County down there.
Any other? Go ahead, Senator Peterson.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to discuss this. I mentioned this to the co-chair. The only complaint I've heard about the consensus block grant money is the smaller amounts to our smaller counties. And they're requesting that they have the ability to save up those dollars for the larger projects. In other words, carry them over from one year to the next rather than having to disperse them all in that same fiscal year. And I don't know what wording in the statute we need to look at, but it's something for this body to consider and as well as the legislature to allow those smaller counties with those smaller amounts of money. Basically, what we're saying is we're limiting those smaller counties with that small amount of money to do only small projects. And if they could have the ability to carry that over from one year to the next, then they could tackle some of those larger projects that the larger counties are being able to do with this program. So.
Senator Nicholas?
I think they've talked about that. I think it would only really apply to the consensus dollars. So
right.
The more we put in the consensus, then making sure that by agreement that they can build up a reserve, go from year to year. But
my guess is that the way we'll have to look at it, I'm wondering if the way the consensus is set up is just really up to the communities to reach an agreement. It doesn't make any difference when they expend them, does it, or does it make a difference?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nicholas, I would have to get back to you on that. I don't know the answer to that.
Cindy, do you know the answer? Ms. Delancey, do you want to just come over by Dean so we can hear you?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah. Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, I do believe that under the rule through the program administered through state lands, there is that lack of ability to quote-unquote bank those funds for future uses. So my understanding is that the folks are put into a use-it-or-lose-it type of situation, that that's where they're looking at doing projects that maybe could be better served if they were able to bank their allocation for a couple of years. And that's been a lot of topic of discussion amongst the commissioners and the council members in WAM to try to look at ways to have those allocations go forward in the future to maybe put forth to more strategic type projects.
Thank you. Dean? You opened a book, and I wondered if you had an answer from looking at it.
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. All right. Other questions of Dean? Representative Harshman,
just
and then
just a comment, kind of committee, just while I'm thinking. One thing I've heard on the capital as well is not only capital projects, but some counties would like the ability to capital kind of purchases, a big...
The rolling stock type
thing?
Yeah,
a big 20-year kind of purchase on a big truck or crane or something to consider when we get kind of working the language. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Esquivel?
Well, Madam Chairman, my question was that it didn't seem like it was something that needed legislative approval. Isn't it in state lands rules they can allow that, the buildup of that block grants?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Esquivel, I think I would like to check with the Office of State Lands about that, if that was the case or not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions?
Just, Madam Chair, so you're going to get us those lists. Maybe if you could even rank them, the poorest per capita sales tax distribution, however the math works on it. Those bottom 20th percentile and bottom 10th percentile, and then for the counties, that inverse deal as well. You've given us those in the past, I think, where we can see them.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, absolutely. I can get those to you pretty readily.
Yeah, that's something we've had in the past. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and the next thing is that each one of these new runs takes time, so what we probably ought to do is think about it, and then when we get the governor's recs, maybe give three or four scenarios to run, but not so many that all Dean is doing is running models all day long.
Right. We might have to supply him with extra food. All right. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much for taking care of this for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Jones, what do you know?
Madam Chairman, I believe the governor's letters arrived shortly, a little while ago, with Mr. Boswell, so those are available, and I think being prepared for distribution at this point in time.
committee, does everyone have the governor's letter marked 1 on January 17th, the memorandum on the federal natural resource policy account? You'll need that to go with your pack 2 through 6 that we received today. If you don't have it, Don can make extra copies for you. Shelley or Brett?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, we do have a tally specifically on letter number 5, which is the, I believe, the comprehensive summary of the governor's recommended budget reductions. That is $59,695,049.
Madam Chair, that's going to be your letter number 006. It's governor's letter number 5, as labeled by them, labeled as 6 by us.
Or number 2.
That is just that one letter, Madam Chairman. Mr. Chairman, these numbering is going to mess us up, but Governor's letter number 1, which is coded as number 2. There's a total in the on the back page. There's a summary of those. That shows you impact by source. And then on governor's letter number 2, yours coded number 3, attachment number 4, is reflective of general fund reduction of $2.2 million, a little over $2.2 million.
Madam Chair, it's okay if I clarify something. Brett, are you talking about this is a reduction to the general fund request, right?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Mai, yes, it is. Madam Chair, on our number 3 and your number 4, this is the item we have discussed already on the Wyoming Life Resource Center and the impact on the profile associated with that. I will point out that this letter does include a number. However, the impact on the profile is $23 million.
Mr. Mai, that's according to your Craig numbers, correct? Okay. So I just put a correction on my letter so that I could just cross-reference it with the goldenrod.
Madam Chair, on R4, your number 5, there's an addition of $1.32 million related to the Distance Learning and Video Conferencing Task Force. $1,320,000.
I was a little confused by that, Brett, because it had the $600,000, and then it had the $320,000 and then the $1,000 for a total of $1.6 on that front page.
Madam Chair, yes. The $1.6 million references the existing recommendation in addition to what the governor is recommending be added.
Okay.
In the case of the Video Conference Enterprise, his original recommendation was for $600,000 in additional funding, and he is proposing via this letter to add an additional $1 million. It's not the same case with the Wyoming Distance Learning Center, primarily because his recommendation was no additional funding outside of an extension of the existing appropriation. That was his original recommendation, and via this letter, he's recommending an appropriation of an additional $320,000.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
We have totaled that at a general fund reduction of $64,365,290. $64,365,290 reduction in general fund. That's all of the letters, Madam Chair.
$64,365,290. Okay, here we go. 6436529 0. Bingo. Exactly, from his budget. Shelley, may I interrupt you for a second? On the community colleges, are you going to have a handout or an analysis of how you came to this reduction?
Madam Chair, I certainly can have, or I can explain it, or I can provide a handout for you. Would that be helpful?
I think that would be a good thing. It's Agency 57, so we don't need it today.
Okay.
But if you would like to present that, that'd be great.
Will do. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Carson. Were those cuts all general fund then, 64,365?
Mr. Jones.
Madam Chairman, yes. The calculation that we did was focused on general funds.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Jones and Ms. Andrews, do you want to walk us through now the governor's letters since we've had a chance to look at them?
Madam Chair, we'd be happy to do that. I will start out with, and I will, when I reference a letter number, I'll use your coding for simplicity. Governor's letter number two.
Well, let's start with one, Brett, if you have it. The FNRPA. You want a copy of ours?
Okay. Governor's letter number one, our number one, your number two, begins with Agency 7, the Military Department. The very first item under the Military Department.
No. No, you need the Federal Natural Resource Policy Account annual report memo.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Governor's letter number one is the Federal Natural Resource Policy Account annual report submitted for the period December 1st, 2010 through November 30th of 2011. The report essentially outlines spending under the program for that period of time.
Does it recommend any changes to the budget?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, it does not.
And my question is on that, so you report in that that you've given a grant to the Wyoming County for the County Commissioners Association to hire an employee? Or the governor's office did? Is that what I understand that? My question is, did that grant come out of the NERP account?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, the grants that are listed on the last page of the report are provided out of the FNRPA budget within the governor's office.
Well, here's my concern right off the bat. Grant number one provides to the Wyoming County Commissioners Association $360,000 for an employee, right?
Yes, $360,000.
Right. What I would like you to do is ask the governor's staff to look at Wyoming Constitution Article 1, Article 3, Section 36. That says no appropriation shall be made for charitable, industrial, education, or benevolent purposes to any person, corporation, or community not under the absolute control of the state nor to any denomination or sectarian institution or association. I don't understand in general how the state of Wyoming can give a grant to the County Commissioners Association unless that is a state employee. If it's a state employee, then, and I'm not sure, it says Wyoming County Commissioners Association Governor's Planning Office. So if you gave the grant to the Planning Office, which is a governmental entity, so then you would have created another position, but then you're just giving money. I'm not sure what's happening there. You know?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, I would need to do some research on this. I'm not prepared to speak to this report. I apologize.
But I think in general, you can give the money to entities that are under the control of the government, which are counties, cities, but I don't think that it, you can give money to, in fact, what I suggest here, I guess, is the governor's planning office got the $8,000 for consulting, but I'd like to ask if the attorney general opined that you're now free to give $360,000 to an outside agency that's not a statutory entity controlled by the state. Okay, but in the net effect of this is it's just a report on grants that were dispersed, but it's not a request for, or is it a request for approval or anything like that? Ratification? Nothing. Okay. All right, thank you.
You have the response, Cindy? No, okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Madam Chair, are we ready to move on to Governor's letter number two?
Yes, please.
Madam Chair, Governor's letter number two begins with agency number seven, Military Department. Under Agency 7, there are two recommended changes. The first of those changes would be found in Unit 0405, the Challenge Program, on pages 61 through 64 of the Agency 7 budget. Specifically, the recommendation is for an alteration of the exception request that is located within that budget. Specifically, the exception request was designed to address a funding requirement with respect to the split between school foundation funds and federal funds. With respect to how that exception request is shown within the budget, that unit budget, there needs to be a modification of the funding split associated with it, and it is shown as an increase in 100 series costs of $723,562. Which will not achieve the desired result with respect to that exception request. Are there any questions on that particular item in, under Agency 7?
I'm not sure. Are you, what's the net effect of... What is the net increase that you're asking for?
753.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, specifically in addition to a reevaluation of that exception request, there also needs to be a reduction of the federal funding shown amount shown in this budget. It's presently shown as $3,528,260 and needs to be reduced to $3 million. So there needs to be a federal funding reduction reflected in that budget. Additionally, the amount that is requested within the 100 series also needs to be reduced to address the improper reflection of that request in the budget. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a specific number with respect to that. You'll note here in the governor's language that he recommend that the budget division work with the with LSO Fiscal to determine exactly how this exception request should be reflected in the context of this unit budget.
Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman.
Madam Chair, actually, question for the co-chair. We talked about this one, military department, and members of the committee remember about the out-of-state students, and we talked about that can be funded with school foundation or general funds or... Do we need to examine some kind of split or percentage on that?
Yeah. We did talk about all of those, so we'll just wait for a second. He's calculating.
I'm still trying to see the breakdown. The 2755955, that's an addition of the 1407915 and the 1285040. Is that correct?
Brett?
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, I'm not quite sure where you're at. I'm sorry.
On the first page of the letter, down at the bottom, the fourth sentence up, where it says biannual cost of 1.4, and then support at 1.2, and then his recommendation is at 2.7.
Yes, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, this is a separate item from the initial one that we discussed. It does also impact Unit 0405, the Challenge Program. This is a specific recommendation from the Governor to expand the Challenge Program from its two class starts per year to the implementation of four classes per year. The estimated biennial cost of being able to do so with respect to 12 additional staff that are part of this recommendation is $1,470,915, with increased biennial support costs of $1,285,040, which is totaled with respect to or totaled at $2.755 million. So this is a separate request from the need up above to clarify the original exception request.
So, Madam Chair,
go ahead, Representative Harsin.
The first paragraph there, the 753, was already approved then in the budget. The governor recommended it on page 62 of the budget. Is that the...
Madam Chair, Representative Harshman, that's correct. This reflects his original recommendation. He understands that in terms of how it was stated in the budget, it does need to be corrected.
Well, does it change the fiscal profile?
No.
On our count?
No.
Madam Chair, a little bit. Not that much. It's S5. Remember, it's school foundation money.
Well, but, I mean, does it change that? Does it add? I'm not...
Yeah, Madam Chair.
It has 753.
Actually, Madam Chair, let me have Don walk you through the complete thing because I'm not sure this letter is totally complete with what you
all
need
right.
to do.
Don.
Ms. Agar.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, you may remember that when the general was here discussing his budget with you, he did mention the fact that there's a few things going on basically with this budget. First, in Agency 7, in this Youth Challenge Program, the budget document that was presented, the governor's rec was $3.5 million of federal funds. In actuality, the grant award, the maximum amount of federal funding that the agency will receive for this program is $3 million. So we need to bring that down. We need to take that $500,000 off, and we need to replace that with school foundation funds. The other thing that's happening in this budget is with the 100 series, and you may also remember that $3 million of federal money is limited by the amount of money that you can spend on salaries, to 80% of that amount. So as a result, when we do the calculation of 80%, that's only $2.4 million, and as I recall, the salaries are... they're $4.2 million. So only $2.4 million of the federal can be used. We've got to augment the rest of that. Well, their proposal is that you all augment that with school foundation funding. So again, there are a couple of different things going on. The total effect to the school foundation money is this budget needs $667,483. That's what they need in school foundation before you consider the request to expand the program. The entire amount of the 2.755 that's referenced in this letter is for the expansion. If you do not do anything, if you do not approve the expanded request, the agency still needs the $667,483 just to make them whole for the biennium.
Okay.
Don, on the first item, when we make those corrections, what's the impact on the foundation program account? Is there a reduction or an increase, and what is the amount?
Mr. Chairman, I was just doing that math. Just one moment. Madam Chairman? Mr. Chairman, $85,701 is the difference between the $753,000 that's referenced in the governor's letter and the $667,000 that we have determined. And when I say we have worked with the agency as well as the budget office to come up with the bottom line. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Senator Montpelier.
Thank you. Ms. Agar, I'm still a little lost here because You're bantering around a number of 667, but in his letter it's 753, 184. In the budget, it's originally the 767, 762. So what's the new number?
Madam Chairman, Senator Von Slater, I know this is confusing because of the different things that are happening. The standard budget, if you look at the standard budget amount in school foundation that the governor recommended, and we don't, if you'd like to do this now, we can also do it later, but
we'll probably do it then too.
Okay, we'll do it two times. That'd be great. Madam Chairman, that standard budget number is $1.1 million. The governor did recommend an additional $29,600 in school foundation funds for the IT equipment for the Youth Challenge Program. So that makes the total governor's rec $1.2 million. Now, actually, when we do the calculation, based on that limitation of federal funds that can be used for salaries, we actually need $1.8 million just for salaries. So the difference between that $1.8 million and the $1.2 million that the governor recommended is the $667,483 number that I'm bringing to you. The reason that changes in the budget is because of two things: reducing that federal match or that federal grant award, which thereby increases the amount of state money that is needed to meet the requirements of our match. Still clear as mud, Senator. Sorry.
The net effect, though, on is that the school foundation program has to be profiled with a reduction of $85,701 when those things are netted out.
Madam Chairman, Senator, actually I think that's going to be to the good, because right now the this says that they need $753,000 of school foundation. I think they only need $667,000. So it will reduce it by that $85,000.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
And the only... When the governor references in the budget other funds, should he have said school foundation at that point, or is it other funds used in reference to school foundation?
Madam Chairman, it's correct okay. Either way.
All right. Thanks. But, Madam Chair, so this additional, should we then allow the school to go to four sets a year,
right,
is all new school foundation money in this next section?
Madam Chairman, Senator, that is correct.
Okay.
Other questions on these figures? Okay, so then I think we're ready to go to the second point on page 2 of that letter with the Department of Agriculture.
Madam Chair, Agency 10, Department of Agriculture in Unit 0204, Livestock Market Reporting on pages 27 through 28. You all may recall when the agency was here that they raised this issue with the committee, and the governor included information with respect to this in this letter as well.
Yep. Okay.
Additionally, I would point out to you, Madam Chair, there is an item not within the text of the letter, but I do want to reference you back to the back page to the summary. You'll notice on the summary, the third and fourth items on the summary in the rear of this letter. The fourth item references another change in agriculture. This is an item that I pointed out in the course of the agency's hearing before the committee. There is a $2,370,000 reduction that needs to be incorporated. This is based on an error that was made by the Budget Division in the preparation of the governor's recommendations. He specifically had asked that their exception request, which was $2,370,000, be reduced to $1.2 million. And if you go to pages 104 through 108 of that budget, you will note that instead there was $1.2 million added to that item. So this is actually a reduction in Unit 1501 of Agency 10's budget.
Is that described here, or is that something different?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, that is not reflected in the text on page 2 of the governor's letter, but it is reflected specifically on the summary page attached to the rear of this letter.
And we also had had that information when we went through the budget, too.
Madam Chair, that's correct. We did point that out as we went through that budget.
Flagged. Okay. Good. All right. Next is DEQ.
Madam Chair, item 3 is Agency 20, Department of Environmental Quality, specifically in Unit 0201, Air Quality, pages 20 through 25 of the agency budget. This also has previously been discussed with the committee. There is a standard budget item for prior balance AML funds in this unit in the amount of $1,856,724. It's specifically, again, been built into the standard budget. In the course of preparing the budget and allocating available prior balance AML funds, this item was left out of that analysis. And in the context of this letter, the governor is recommending that funding for that program be converted to general funds from AML prior balance funds.
Continue.
Madam Chairman, item number 4 is in Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. This item also was discussed with the committee at the time of the agency's hearing. In Unit 0240, Archives and Records Management, pages 43 through 45 of the agency budget, you may recall that during the governor's consideration of the agency budget, not all of the information was available to him at the time in terms of the cost of phase 2 of the agency's electronic records project. You may also recall that the OCIO was available to you and I think spoke to you with respect to this project. The governor is recommending an adjustment in his recommendation of support for this project. His original recommendation was for $350,000 in one-time general funds, and he's recommending an additional $817,228 in general funds for that project.
Okay, I see no questions. Continue.
Madam Chair, item 5 is Agency 37, the State Engineer. Specifically in Unit 0501, Support Services, pages 45 through 51, the governor is recommending an additional amount of funding related to the agency's IT request. He recommends increasing his original recommendation by $115,932 in one-time general funds.
Okay.
Item 6. Madam Chair, is Agency 45, Department of Transportation, specifically Unit 0603, WyoLink Phase 2, pages 104 through 108 of the agency budget. This item was also discussed previously with the committee, specifically with respect to pooled interest that had been earned on prior WyoLink appropriations and the use of that accumulated interest in the amount of $2,365,926. Specifically, the governor is recommending the use of this interest to replace the general funds that were originally proposed for the $1.6 million in maintenance, service and maintenance funding for the WyoLink system. He is also further recommending replacing general funds in the amount of $765,926 in air service enhancement assistance with the balance of that pooled interest, which would effectively split his recommendation for air service enhancement assistance of $3 million between general funds and pooled interest funds. General funds in the amount of $1,704,514 and pooled interest funding in the amount of $1,295,486. Madam Chair, item 7 is Agency 53, the Department of Workforce Services, specifically in Unit 0350, which is related to the agency's YCAN project on pages of 66 and 67 of the agency budget. Specifically, this is an acknowledgement of a change in circumstance associated with that project, whereas Wyoming originally was going to serve in the capacity as a lead state in that four-state consortium. And since the time of budget submittal, Colorado has agreed to assume that role as leader of that consortium, and this is an acknowledgement of that change.
Good. Continue.
Item 8, Madam Chairman, is Agency 57, Community College Commission Capital Construction. Specifically, this is an acknowledgement that the governor's original recommendation contained Level 3 design costs, actually a doubling of those costs with respect to the four projects that he is recommending for funding, and a corresponding reduction associated in his recommendation for each of those projects.
And on the, your synopsis on the back page shows all those reductions to the planning projects.
Yes, Madam Chairman. Okay. And that, those are all reductions in general funds. Madam Chair, that's a summary of Governor's Letter Number 2.
Okay. All right, we're on to Governor Letter Number 2, ours 3, right?
Madam Chair, can I ask a question?
Certainly. Senator Von Flatern?
Sorry for slowing us down here, but I'm a little slower than
most.
You
got all night.
On the back page on that spreadsheet on the governor's letter 1R number 2, it's the money you're talking about with DEQ where it's $1.8 million is now going to be general fund and we're going to take the AML out of there. So when I look at that sheet and the AML's in red, all that's saying it's not a it's a deduction of AML funds, but they still exist. It's not a loss of federal funds to the state. Is that correct?
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Madam Chair, Senator Von Flatern, that is correct. It is not a loss of federal funds.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
Funds reallocated?
Brett.
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chairman, this did not represent a reallocation of AML funds in this instance. As you may recall, this was a case where funds were allocated, the prior balance funds that were anticipated arriving in December, the $82.7 million. This got missed out of the allocation of those funds, primarily because it's in the standard budget. And while DAQ does a good job of presenting that, in the course of determining how to allocate those funds, this was left out of that process.
Does it change the profile?
Madam Chair,
hold on a second. Bill?
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, which does it? Well, yeah, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, it is going to add to, or it's going to take money out of your general fund, but they're adding it back in these other places. This is part of their overall global governor's letter adjustments to these budgets. And that's part of, I think, what Brett was calculating to begin with, where the net reduction across all of this is $64 million.
This is one where they found some AMLs that had not been spent. They're covering.
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, this is an oversight in AML funding. So the AML funding's already been allocated, is best my understanding. So what they're saying is, although it was budgeted as federal funds for air quality in the DEQ budget, those federal funds really were AML funds. Now they've already been allocated to other projects, so they're suggesting funding this with general fund.
Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. This represents would represent an overallocation of those prior balance funds. And Mr. Maia is correct. This would impact the profile in the context of that overall net reduction that we shared with you earlier, although this reflects an addition of general funds in the context of that calculation.
Go ahead, Representative Wallace.
Madam Chairman, So of the AML funds, I had a spreadsheet going where I had added together the prior balance AML and the current balance. What's this going to do to that total number of AML available?
Brett.
Madam Chair, Representative Wallace, this does not impact the allocation, any tables you've received in the context of this budget for prior balance funds, whether or not those funds are the $82.7 million received in December, or whether or not they were proposed for reallocation or reappropriation. I'm not sure what the proper term is, but it should not impact any of that because this was left out of the analysis. And so these AML funds were not allocated specifically to this standard budget item. And so the governor is basically saying, I'm acknowledging the fact that funding needs to come from somewhere with respect to this $1.8 million. And I am recommending that as opposed to taking AML from somewhere else, I'm recommending that we utilize general funds essentially to cover this proposed expenditure.
What was, remind me what the expenditure was. This is for the expansion of the air plan for the regional haze, the Green River.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct.
So this is an ongoing, and it's now being moved into general fund, and our goldenrod would show a reduction.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, are we ready to proceed with letter number three, Governor's letter number three? Governor's letter number three is related to the changes with respect to the Office of the Chief Information Officer, specifically the budget transition. The budget that was presented to you essentially anticipated a reduction of funding for general funds, federal funds, and other funds. Over the course of several conversations with LSO staff as well as with the committee, we have arrived at a place where we will be able to incorporate the other funds and the federal funds into the SWICAP process for 13-14. Incorporating that into the data that is built out of fiscal year 2011. This also acknowledges that there are at least three agencies where costs cannot be collected via cost allocation in the cost recovery process due to statutory restrictions. In addition, the governor is recommending that as opposed to reducing other fund and federal fund budgets, that instead that those the amounts that are identified in the existing recommendations would, instead of being reduced, would be transferred from the 400 series within those agency budgets into the 300 series. And he has outlined specific total amounts in the amount of $3,072,283 in federal funds, $6,330,854 in other funds, for that total increase in those budgets of $9,403,137,000. This will allow us in 2013 and 2014 to collect those funds via the SWICAP process and ultimately feed those funds into the general fund. He has also identified the change in recommendation for general funds for equipment replacement, converting $2,201,400 of his original recommendation into depreciation reserve funds as opposed to general funds. So that's an effective reduction in general fund. He's also clarifying his recommendation with respect to the budget transition and the change in funding methodology. With respect to core administrative and enterprise functions. And noting that his written recommendation in the OCIO's budget for a change in funding for those functions is independent of a decision by the legislature to approve the establishment of a separate agency for the OCIO. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I might just refer to the attachments associated with this governor's letter. The first item is reflective of corrections that need to be made to five agency budgets with respect to the change in funding methodology for the OCIO. We do have additional specific information for LSO staff on this that we'll share with them, outlining the specific locations for these changes in agency budgets. Attachment number two is a schedule of 400 series reductions that would be converted to a move to 300 series of federal funds across all agency budgets, which identifies with some specificity the page numbers as well as the unit numbers that would be impacted and the specific revenue sources associated with those. In addition to those specifics, the proposed revised governor's recommendation is located on the bottom of the second page of that attachment. And attachment three is very similar to attachment number two, although it's reflective of other funds. And at the bottom of the fourth page of that attachment is a similar recommendation associated with moving those funds or modifying those funds from a reduction to a transfer between the 400 series and the 300 series. Attachment number four is reflective of the change in funding source for the equipment replacement. In the 306 budget.
So these depreciation reserve funds, they've already been accumulated, they've already posted. Why weren't they used before, and were the funds set up for this account, or are you taking other depreciation reserve funds from and moving them?
Mr. Jones?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that this was an oversight in the formulation of the exception request, and that the agency specifically is requesting to utilize depreciation reserve funds that they have already collected from agencies with respect to these specific replacements that are listed here.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm still a little bit confused about the second paragraph under number one on page one of the $9.4 million number. Is that now and to the general fund? To the benefit of the general fund?
Madam Chair, Representative Wallace, the short answer is yes. Specifically, what is being recommended here is that as opposed to reducing these amounts in federal funds and other funds from agency budgets, that this funding would effectively be left in those agency budgets but moved from the 400 series to the 300 series to be recovered via the cost allocation process, the cost recovery process, and ultimately flow into the general fund within the 2013-2014 biennium.
Madam Chairman, go ahead. Well, as I understand the paragraph, the first part, the $9.4 million, that's revenue neutral. That's already profiled. It's just saying, look, let's leave it in the agencies instead of moving it into a new CIO account. That's right. Already profiled. The only thing that we pick up is the $2.2 million from the depreciation reserve account.
Hold on. Mr. Jones?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct. I'll defer to Mr. Mai on the profile issue, since I don't have a wonderful track record in that regard.
Well, you can't create energy, can't be created or destroyed, so the same is true for cash. But so I assume that, one, all that does is say we were going to move all the money into a new OCIO budget. Now we're saying let's leave it in the independent budgets, but the fiscal profile should be exactly the same. And then in two, you're picking up depreciation reserve, which is lower in. That's the only thing I see.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Bill.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm not completely sure I'm tracking this letter, but, you know, based on our conversations with the budget office and the OCIO, I think the point of this thing is to recognize those, you know, when if you think back to some of our first conversations about OCIO and our concern, you know, LSO staff's concern that agencies wouldn't be collecting federal funds, you know, and initially I think the thinking in the creation of that OCIO office was, look, let's make a clean break and start billing this stuff out. And we started looking at it and thought, well, you know, why would you forego all these federal funds and other funds if you can collect them? It didn't make sense to us. And so, you know, Phil, I actually think that, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at least one of these numbers, if, you know, that $3 million for some reason is ringing a bell with me in the 300 series. I don't know about the 400. I don't know if that is clean money or not, but I think there is a net gain in this thing to the general fund.
Well, we had talked about a $4 million loss or a hit from that. And I had has that already been taken off our goldenrod, and then we get to put it back on?
Well, sure, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, it was. Not, I don't think, in the sense that you're thinking of, but in the sense of what's the required general fund to fund that 306 budget, and it was basically all GF. And we were saying a lot of that GF should be FF and OF and should save you some general fund money. In other words, you know, I think our thinking just from a gut feel in December when we were going through it was, why would you pay a bunch more money to do the same thing but at a centralized location? And why can't you get that federal money? Why isn't there some way to collect that federal money? Why do we have to let it go? And for some reason, I don't know, I'll have to talk to Brett and Shelley and probably to Flint too, but well, for some reason that $3 million figure is standing out to me.
Are you thinking now then that the $6.3 million, those would be the internal service fees that come in? $3 million would be the federal funds that was not profiled, and then you pick up 2.2, so you, under that scenario, you'd pick up $5.2 million.
Well, Madam Chair, I think that's right. That's where my head's at, is 5.2. This 3, and then the 2.2 on that equipment fund.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Madam Chair, back in the conversation with respect to the $4 million, the conversation at that particular point in time, there was an acknowledgement that that we would be unable to recover the federal funds within the 13-14 biennium. What has changed is we have confirmation from the federal government that we will be allowed to incorporate that into SWICAP calculations for 2011. And ultimately position ourselves to be able to recover those funds within the 2013-2014 biennium. You know, previously, with respect to the federal funds and the other funds, these were billed out and flowed in as internal service funds in the current funding methodology and in that structure and how it works now. So there may be a benefit to the general fund with respect to recovery of these funds in the 13-14 biennium. I would reiterate that I'd like to visit and investigate that a little bit further with Mr. Mai, potentially also with Joyce Heffenheider and within our agency, just to confirm that we're all thinking correctly in that regard.
And, Madam Chair, and Phil, just to follow up, I think probably, and this is dependent on this conversation, but I think that 3-1, I think that's the number we're looking for, that 3072. I think that's the federal funds that we're no longer going to forego. We're going to count that. Plus, we're going to take the 2-2 out of the depreciation reserve. And I think what that will result in is a reduction in the request in 0306 for general fund of that amount. So 5-2, you'll reduce that general fund request in 306 by $5.2 million. That's how it's going to hit your profile.
I've got a list here, so hold on. We're going to go with Representative Wallace, then Edmonds, then Senator Von Flatern, and then Meyer.
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Edmonds is good. All right. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the document Mr. Waters gave me this morning, or gave us this morning, tracks pretty well with this letter. Comes out with the same amounts anyway, so I'm assuming he took it pretty much off this letter. But the only thing he has additional is a PSCC position adjust, which I don't remember what that stood for, and I don't know that it's profiled anywhere.
Public Service Commission position, maybe?
No.
Professional Standard Credit Program, right?
Madam Chair, I don't remember the entire acronym, but it's a Public Safety Communications Commission, I believe, which is associated with WildLink, position.
With WildLink, okay.
And Madam Chairman, if I might, just a clarification. We do not anticipate a reduction in the $22.8 million general fund ask for the OCIO. What we do anticipate via cost recovery would be revenue flows into the general fund associated with both the $3 million federal fund number as well as the $6.3 million other fund number. So we don't anticipate seeing a corresponding reduction in the general fund ask associated with 306. What we do see is revenue flows via cost allocation into the general fund.
Senator Meyer.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to see if we couldn't get a little bit of a breakdown in that depreciation schedule. I don't recall all of these divisions and agencies having depreciation accounts. However, I do recall a couple of times in the last few years that we sent aside some funds in that regard for what we knew were some big-ticket items that were going to come due pretty quick. And pretty quick, I think it's in 2 or 3 years. So I just want to have a little bit of analysis on that to see if we can't determine if there's a couple, three of these agencies that have large depreciation funds, and we can determine why that is. Because I certainly don't recall every agency and every fund having a depreciation account.
Brett?
So. Madam Chairman, Senator Myers, I understand it, the OCIO, or more to the point, the ITD, when they have established their billing rates, they have incorporated a component into those rates that reflects collection for depreciation of equipment. But we could certainly provide you a breakdown or a summary of effectively how that has worked. Potentially what the balance of that fund is, that type of information.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking there are some major software updates that we had to do, and I can't remember whether it was DEQ or just where it was, and that we had sent aside some money that wasn't within the normal range. So maybe I can get my memory refreshed on that.
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, I will follow up with the OCIO's office with respect to gathering that type of information.
Other questions on the OCIO, ITD? So that ends that letter. Okay. Any questions on the attachments?
Madam Chairman.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So if you are working your way through this, and we've decided that the 2.2 and the 3 million off the letter itself would be adjustments, then the attachment 1 are also additional adjustments. And then do we also, now the attachment 2 refers back to page 1 of the letter, correct? As does,
I think we need to do a caucus.
Attachment 3 and 4. So on attachment 1, those adjustments are not specifically referred to in the letter, but they still do need to be made if you're adjusting your general fund tally. And then I would have the same question about attachment 5.
Sorry about that, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Representative Wallace, specifically these items in Attachment 1, although broken out, are reflected in Attachments 2 and Attachment 3 where appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Additionally, I would also refer you back to the handout that you did receive from the OCIO earlier today. This does incorporate all of the information attached to this letter as well. And that would specifically be 188.
Okay. Handout 188, yeah.
Okay, Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
So for the mathematically challenged amongst us, if you're adding and subtracting here, and you've got the numbers off of the letter itself that we just clarified, which other ones do I need to include in my tally to make sure that I come out with the same number that you do?
Chairman, here's what I'd suggest is this, is that let's get through these letters as quick as we can by 5:30 so that our staff can go do their tally sheets so that they can give us a tally sheet by tomorrow. They're going to need some time to coalesce this. They need some time. We need to give them some time away from us and maybe with you folks, but let's get through the numbers as quickly as we can, understanding as best we can, and then turn it over to the staff to give us your reconciliation sheet. Yeah, I think we're on the last one, really.
Is that okay? Because we're getting deep here on this. Okay. All right, let's keep on with the overview.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Governor's Letter Number 4. Again, makes reference to the issue associated with the funding of the Wyoming Life Resources Center, that change in funding structure and the corresponding impact of the same on the fiscal profile. And again, while it does specifically include a number with respect to that change, in acknowledgement that on the profile, it that number does equal $23 million.
Right.
Madam Chair, Governor's Letter Number 5 addresses additional recommendations with respect to the Task Force on Distance Learning and Video Conferencing at the university, specifically the Wyoming Distance Learning Center and the Video Conferencing Enterprise. In his original recommendations, the governor recommended one-time allocations of $600,000 for the video conference enterprise, no new allocations for the Wyoming Distance Learning Center, and the extension of existing appropriations for both of those enterprises. Specifically, he is now recommending, based on additional information being provided to him, an increase in the funding recommendation for the Wyoming Distance Learning Center of $320,000, where he previously recommended no additional funding, and an additional general fund allocation of $1 million for the video conference enterprise, in addition to the original $600,000 recommendation contained within the university's budget.
Further questions on that? Okay.
Madam Chair, Governor's Letter Number 6. Governor's Letter Number 6, Madam Chair, is follows a governor's consideration of the January Craig report and projected reduction in revenues to the general fund based on the price of natural gas. Specifically, there are a number of items here, Madam Chair and members of the committee, that the governor is recommending be reduced. He also offers some clarification later in the letter about some of his other recommendations, and I'll walk through these very quickly. Specifically, agency number one in the governor's office, the governor's recommending a reduction of $5 million of the $15 million in exception budget requests for technology-related businesses. In agency six, administration and information, he's recommending a reduction of $10 million in the exception budget for employee compensation, in addition to the reductions already reflected in his original recommendation. Agency 20 in the Department of Environmental Quality, he's recommending a $5 million reduction to the $15 million exception request recommendation for landfills. In Agency 48, the Department of Health, he's recommending a reduction from the exception budget request of $8 million for emergency detentions under Title 25. He's recommending elimination of that requested funding, and that the agency be given the flexibility to fund emergency detentions with 100 series funds that are appropriated to them, vacancy savings. In Agency 49, Department of Family Services, the governor is recommending, in addition to the reductions he included originally, a reduction of $13,067,370 from the capital construction budget. That specifically is for the capital construction project at the boys' school. In Agency 57, Community College Commission, he is recommending a reduction of $6,175,349 to the enrollment growth exception request. In Agency 67, the University of Wyoming, he's recommending reduction of the exception budget request for salary adjustments in the amount of $7,452,330. He's further recommending a $5 million reduction in the exception request related to infrastructure and LDRP improvements in the capital construction budget. Also in the Agency 67 budget, you may recall that his original recommendation on capital construction was to incorporate or to recommend $50 million as a capital project fund for the university. He is, in the context of that original exception request recommendation, he indicated he would provide further clarification of his desires with respect to that recommendation, and he has done so in the context of this letter. First, he is recommending $15 million for the Performing Arts Building. Secondly, he is recommending $15 million for the renovation and expansion of the half-acre gymnasium, in this case to be matched by funding from the University of Wyoming in the amount of $12 million, supported by student fees. And finally, he's recommending $20 million be set aside in the auditor's office for the possible acquisition of up to 11,000 acres of land within the Casper Aquifer Recharge Zone line east of Laramie and the University of Wyoming.
Okay.
And one other item, Madam Chair. On the final page of this, you'll note a clarification of his recommendation with respect to local government funding. On the last paragraph of that page, he is maintaining his support of locals in the by recommending $135 million in additional funding over and above the $33.4 million in the mineral royalty program. And he is specifically recommending a 50-50 split between the countywide consensus process for local projects and the direct distribution component.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. And I think we will call it an evening so that our staff can put these calculations together for us. So we'll be back here tomorrow morning to start marking up the budget at 8 a.m. And we really will mark up the budget. Thank you, everyone, for your hard day.